My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Free throw, 4 for the rebound. Here's Pritchard. He loves these. Puts it up half court of the buzzer. Bang! Pritchard at the buzzer with a 3-pointer. He's done it again.
You know what drives me nuts about that shot, Denton, is at the end of the first quarter, Dallas inbounded the ball in the backcourt. I forget to whom. And the dude just dribbled out the last 2 seconds, last 1.8 seconds without shooting a shot. You know, that's been a trend for many, many years now where guys don't want their field goal percentage impacted, so they don't chuck it from 3/4 court or from 60 feet or wherever. The NBA should come up with some sort of statistical exception for shots that are shot beyond half court. If you miss it, it doesn't count against your field goal percentage, because that's stupid. You're in the finals. The dude just dribbled the clock out at the end of the first quarter. Find out who that was. I'm forgetting who it was. It was one of their subs. But Peyton Pritchard, second half court shot of the series. The NBA finals, boys and girls, are over. For some of you, you're thrilled about that. And by the way, couldn't come at a better time, because we have our football team post-show yesterday, or right at the end of the show, starting to be the biggest trend in terms of NFL storylines, and that is because of what Brandon Ayuk said to Jaden Daniels on a FaceTime call that he posted to TikTok. We will certainly get into that. Today. We do have one guest, speaking of Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. We've got somebody on that covers the Niners at 11 a.m. Dave Jagler will be on with us today at 12:35. The Nats open up a set with Arizona tonight at Nats Park. Looking for a fourth win in a row and a ninth win in their last 10 games, as they are surging towards 500, a chance to get there tonight at Nats Park. Going to be a couple of warm days, Denton. I don't know if you've looked at the forecast, but we are in the first of what I'm sure will be multiple heat waves around here. This one's certainly not going to be the worst heat wave we've ever had, but for mid to late June, it's pretty hot. Temperatures reached over 90 degrees yesterday. We're going to be 90 or higher through Monday before it even cools a little bit, with a couple of days towards the end of this week, days in which, yes, I'm scheduled to play golf. Friday afternoon, Cooley's coming into town. So we'll see if he's available to jump on the show. He's coming into town for some card show at Dulles Expo Saturday at 2. Some of you fans may know about that already. But he is staying with me, and I'm fine with that. He allowed me to stay with him. He had me stay with him last summer when I went out to Wyoming. But we are planning on playing golf at least twice. We're going to play on Friday and Saturday, and I told him yesterday, Friday, high temperature projected to be 95, Saturday, 97. And he just said, it's 64 here right now with no humidity. Well, yeah, that's what it is when you live in Wyoming. There are pluses to living in Wyoming, and there are plenty of minuses to living in Wyoming. Good day, everybody. Dominance by the Boston Celtics. It's the only way to say it. I would start and almost want to end the conversation with what was really suffocating defense at times, great defense at other times, outstanding to really good defense much of the other time, with the exception of game four in Dallas, which once Boston, you know, fell behind, it was kind of one of those games where they're like, look, we're up 3-0. Let's go back to Boston and end it on our home floor Monday night if we can't end it tonight. They're just so good defensively. And Dallas is one of those teams which they're not unique in the NBA. They're not that unique for college basketball either. But teams that rely primarily on ISO basketball in the half court are just never going to win a title if they've got to face really good defensive teams along the way. They're just too easy to guard, and it's too much effort. It's not sustainable against a good defensive team like Boston in trying to win 4 out of 7. You can shot make, you can play make your way to a win or two over a really good defensive team playing stagnant ISO basketball, but you're not going to win 4 out of 7. And we saw that from the jump, the first two games in Boston, game three in Dallas, and then last night, man, their defense on Kyrie and Luka early, smothering. I mean, Kyrie's a story we'll get to. Luka's a story that we will get to. But these NBA finals are about the Boston Celtics being the best team. They were the best team in the regular season. They were the best team in the postseason. And quite frankly, it wasn't even close. The Celtics are champs for the first time since 2008. They are champions of the NBA for the 18th time, taking the overall lead, one better than the Lakers, who last won in 2020 in the bubble. Nobody else is close to those two. Denton, I'll ask you real quickly. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but a little bit of trivia. Do you know who has the third most titles in the NBA after the Celtics and Lakers? Nobody's close, but do you know who was third?
Nobody's close. My guess would be the Golden State Warriors.
Good guess. You are correct, sir. The Golden State Warriors, not all of them in San Francisco. They won in Philadelphia as well before they became the San Francisco Warriors and then eventually the Golden State Warriors. But yes, the Warriors as a franchise have 7 titles. My guess, when I saw this asked earlier this morning before the answer popped up, I'm like, it's got to be either Chicago or San Antonio. I didn't think about the Warriors and their history prior to Golden State. You know, they had not won a title since 1975 when they won in 2015 with the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green team. And the 75 win was over the Bullets. The Bulls have 6 championships. The Spurs have 5. The Spurs have made 11 appearances, which is, you know, is up there. Yeah, that's the list. But Boston is being talked about. These 2023-2024 Celtics are being talked about as a team that rivals some of the greatest teams in NBA history. I don't know that I'll remember them that way, mostly because they just didn't have a difficult road to winning the title. You know, they played 3 teams in the East who weren't that great and who were injured, you know, missing their best player for games, if not the entire series. No Jimmy Butler when they played Miami. Donovan Mitchell missed games in the series against Cleveland. And then Halliburton missed games in the Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. So they skated through a weak and lame Eastern Conference. And then they got a 5 seed in the NBA Finals that they destroyed 4-1. So I can't think personally about them being one of the greatest teams of all time. Even if the road had been more difficult in watching them, very, very much a pleasure to watch, in part because of the way they defend. But they're not, for me, one of the greatest teams of all time. But they certainly had a season to remember. Their 792 win percentage for the regular season and playoffs combined is the second best in franchise history, behind a team that many do feel is the greatest team in NBA history, and that's the 85-86 Celtics. That team went 82-18 in the regular season and in the playoffs. This year's version of the Celtics went 80-21, 16-3 in the postseason. The 86 Celtics went 15-3. The first round in 86 was a best of five, which is why they didn't have to win 16 games to win the title. They had to win 15. But this year's team, pretty close record-wise to the 86 Celtics. This team in the regular season won 17 games by 25 points or more. That's never been done. And so people will look at their 64-18 regular season and their margin of victory of 11.3 points per game in the 17 games that they won by 25 or more, and this will put them in the category of great teams. Their average margin of victory in the postseason was 8 points. Now, that was impacted by that blowout loss in Game 4 in Dallas. They lost by 38. But it counts, right? The 86 Celtics, which some believe is either the best or certainly a top three team of all team, blitzed through their postseason with a margin of victory of 10.3 points per game. But I can't personally, and this isn't an old man get off my lawn bit, these Celtics were a pleasure to watch. They were a great team, but they're not the 86 Celtics. And I'm not talking about would they beat the 86 Celtics. I'm not having the evolution conversation right now. I believe that the players of today would annihilate some of the teams from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They're just bigger, faster, stronger. Honestly, in many ways, even more skilled. In terms of, the teams for their time, the 86 Celtics, the 96 Bulls, the 83 Sixers of Moses Malone, where he predicted faux, and they won in 4-5-4. The 87 Lakers, who had lost to the Houston Rockets in 86, who then lost to the 86 Celtics in the finals. That 87 version of the Showtime Lakers, they beat the Celtics in 6 games. That was an unbelievable team. The 2001 Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, they went 15-1 in the postseason. The 2017 Warriors went 16-1 in the postseason. There are a lot of teams that I could rip off that I would say, off the top of my head, that are just better than the team that I just watched. But this team had a hell of a season. Hell of a season. And defensively, a pleasure to watch throughout, especially in these finals, where Luka and Kyrie came in with a lot of people picking them to win these NBA finals. A lot of people talking about Luka Doncic as the best player in the game or one of the top three players in the game before he had won a title. I said it's too premature. Kyrie having really turned the narrative on him around because of the way they had played in this postseason and the way he had behaved really for the last year and a half in Dallas. And you saw him at the end of the game if you were up late, going through, the Boston bench, congratulating them, not after the game, but as he was checking out for the final time. He was horrendous last night. He was terrible in all 3 games in Boston. Luka and Kyrie are storylines from these NBA finals. I mean, we're such creatures of recency. After they beat Minnesota, it's like, wow, it was Stan Van Gundy. Am I right? I think it was Stan Van Gundy who said, Denton, this is the greatest offensive backcourt in NBA history. I love Stan Van Gundy. I think he's really good. They certainly weren't against the best defensive team that they faced. Some thought Minnesota was the best defensive team. No, these NBA finals proved that Boston was the best. When I say best, they were the best on-ball guarding team with more than just 2 or 3 excellent defenders in this postseason. But people were just gaga, going nuts over Luka and Kyrie coming into these finals. More on them in a moment. How about Jason Tatum last night? The game of the series for him. He was absolutely lights out, start to finish, dialed in. He was such an excellent distributor. Again, he had 31 points, 11 assists. Jaylen Brown had 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and 21 points. Neither one of them shot it great. They were a combined 3 for 16 from behind the arc. It was, you know, it was White and Horford and Hauser, really, who knocked down the threes for Boston. But the two of them, Tatum and Brown, you know, we've had now back-to-back teams win titles. Actually, if you want to go back to the Warriors without KD when they beat the Celtics 2 years ago in 2022, we've had 3 straight teams that have essentially been homegrown. You know, the key players drafted by the organization, you know, built up over some time. Now, Golden State obviously won, and then they won again with Durant. But Denver with Jokic and with Murray drafted with Porter Jr. last year, you know, you got to be patient in the NBA. Young teams don't win. You have to almost graduate to a championship. Tatum's 7th year in the league, Brown's 8th year in the league, even though they're only 26 and 27 years old, respectively. They've been in there. They've been through the wars. They lost an NBA Finals. They blew a Game 7 at home last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, albeit with Jason Tatum getting hurt in that game early on. Tatum was great last night. I do think that Jaylen Brown deserved the MVP. I think he was their best and most valuable player and the best player in this series for the 5 games that were played. I don't think he was the best player last night. I think Jason Tatum was, and I bet it closed the gap. I did not see the MVP voting. Did you, Denton?
I did not see the voting. I was a little surprised, though, after the Game 5 performance that Jaylen Brown won it.
I wasn't. I think that it's for the series. It's not for a game. And he was the, you know, he hit the big shot in Game 3 after Dallas, you know, cut it to 2 late. He was their best defender for all 5 games. He was as good a playmaker and a shot maker as anybody else. I mean, he was a massive favorite going into last night's game. Just wanted Tatum to win.
No, I made more money off of Jaylen Brown winning it. I had him 6-1 winning it from the start of the series. I just thought that as the series progressed, Jason Tatum started to look more like Jason Tatum, and I thought towards the end people would be swayed to vote him. I mean, he had 11 assists last night. He was really good at distributing a near, again, triple-double. I thought people would eventually gravitate towards him.
I thought he was great last night. I do think sometimes more so with Tatum than even Brown, the ball sticks a little bit because Boston is, you know, a top 6-7 team when it comes to ISO ball, but the ball moves side to side much more so with Boston. They're much more able with their players to blow by Dallas defensively to create opportunities for others. I think that I've said for years, and it's been true, that you can't win an NBA title without a debatable top 5 player in the game on your roster. And that's been true since 2004. And Boston won with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown last night. I know Jason Tatum's won 3 straight, has been a 3 straight first-team All-NBA player, and that should end the discussion about whether or not Boston won a title with a debatable top 5 player. He again has been named 3 straight years to the first team All-NBA. This isn't All-Star voting. This is, you know, like All-Pro. This is All-NBA, first team. And so those that would say, well, they do. They have Jason Tatum. He is one of the top 5 players in the game. He's been named to the top, to the starting unit for 3 straight years. Personally, I don't think Jason Tatum's a top 5 player. I think he's a top 10 player. I think he's probably a top 7, top 8 player. But you could debate that he's top 5. I'm not going to take that away from you. I would say that he isn't. And so for the first time since 2004, I would say I don't think Boston had a top 5 player, dominant player on their roster. But I do think they have 2 easy top 7 to top 15 players. You know, somewhere in that range, both Brown and Tatum are in that range, maybe 7 to 8 to 12, somewhere in that range. And it was certainly more than enough with the team that Brad Stevens put around them. You know, there was some criticism when he traded Marcus Smart, brought in Drew Holiday, brought in Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis played last night, was not much of a factor, but was a major factor in the series because he was such a big factor in Game 1. Keep in mind, Boston's run here during the postseason came largely without their third, but you could argue their third most talented player. Jrue Holiday was their third best player, or Derek White, one of the two. God, they had players that stepped up, didn't they? Really, really good basketball team. Not all-time great, though. A great season, statistically, numbers-wise. You know, people will talk about the 2023-2024 Boston Celtics, you know, with some of the numbers they put up, some of the margin of victory stuff. But I can't put them up there with some of the all-time great teams. But I think Mazzulla did a great job. I think Brad Stevens is an incredible architect of this thing. And they had two guys who had ascended to that time in their career where it was time to win a title. And they got it done. And there's nothing better, I don't think, than watching the culmination of something, of a championship. But a championship that has come with, you know, tremendous resilience over the years, with players who were doubted over and over again, who were criticized for losing last year in Game 7, criticized for not beating the Warriors 2 years ago. They were the favorite in that series. Criticized at various times, and they stuck with it, and the two players have gotten better. And look, Jason Tatum is still getting better. He's 26 years old. You know, I may feel differently about him this time next year or the year after and say he's definitively a top five player. Jaylen Brown, the same thing. What a big step up season for him. He is a killer competitor. He is a relentless, in-your-face, on-ball defender. I enjoyed watching the Celtics. I wish they had had another great team. I really wish it had been Boston and Denver. That would have been the finals worth watching. Denver would have been a team, I think, more suited to play Boston because they're not as stagnant. And I think Boston, especially without Porzingis, would have really had a difficult time with Jokic. And it would have been a much better series. But Denver didn't get there. They lost a Game 7 at home in the conference semifinals to Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota would have beaten Boston. I think the team out west that would have had the best chance, Denton, is Denver. I think that would have been the team that would have actually had a legitimate chance. And I think that was, you know, the presumed NBA Finals matchup before it started, even though we knew the West was going to be wild. You know, going back to the beginning of the playoffs, remember when we were looking at this thing, we're like, wow, I mean, the Suns are a six seed. The Clippers and the Mavericks, what a series that's going to be. I mean, two teams that nobody thought about before the season, Oklahoma City and Minnesota, are in the top three seeds. You got the defending champions. You got New Orleans with Zion, but he never got healthy. Wasn't the greatest. I pushed it probably too much. It was not the best drug I've ever pushed. I've never pushed a drug. These NBA playoffs, I know I asked you guys to invest some of your sports watching time in this thing, and there wasn't much super memorable. There wasn't an all-time game or an all-time series or an all-time moment. You know, there was some early action with the Lakers in Denver, with the Knicks and the Sixers. That may have been the most intense series start to finish. The Knicks and the Pacers with the games in the Garden in particular were exciting. But ultimately, overall, thumbs down on the NBA playoffs overall. And I watched 90% of what was on. And I'm into it. And the only thing coming out of this to me is how good the Celtics were, especially on defense, and then a little bit of overzealousness, to say the least, on the Luka Kyrie greatest backcourt, greatest offensive player conversation. And that's where I'll end this. And if you want to weigh in on these NBA finals, have at it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Where do the Celtics, this version, rank for you? Is it one of the great teams that you've ever watched?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Free throw, 4 for the rebound. Here's Pritchard. He loves these. Puts it up half court of the buzzer. Bang! Pritchard at the buzzer with a 3-pointer. He's done it again.
You know what drives me nuts about that shot, Denton, is at the end of the first quarter, Dallas inbounded the ball in the backcourt, I forget to whom, and the dude just dribbled out the last 2 seconds, last 1.8 seconds without shooting a shot. You know, that's been a trend for many, many years now, where guys don't want their field goal percentage impacted, so they don't chuck it from three quarters court or from 60 feet or wherever. The NBA should come up with some sort of statistical exception for shots that are shot beyond half court. If you miss it, it doesn't count against your field goal percentage, because that's stupid. You're in the finals. The dude just dribbled the clock out at the end of the first quarter. Find out who that was. I'm forgetting who it was. It was one of their subs. But Peyton Pritchard, second half court shot of the series. The NBA Finals, boys and girls, are over. For some of you, you're thrilled about that. And by the way, couldn't come at a better time, because we have our football team post-show yesterday, or right at the end of the show, starting to be the biggest trend in terms of NFL storylines, and that is because of what Brandon Ayuk said to Jaden Daniels on a FaceTime call that he posted to TikTok. We will certainly get into that today. We do have one guest. Speaking of Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers, we've got somebody on that covers the Niners at 11 a.m. Dave Jagler will be on with us today at 12:35. The Nats open up a set with Arizona tonight at Nats Park. Looking for a fourth win in a row and a ninth win in their last 10 games, as they are surging towards 500, a chance to get there tonight at Nats Park. Going to be a couple of warm days, Denton. I don't know if you've looked at the forecast, but we are in the first of what I'm sure will be multiple heat waves around here. This one's certainly not going to be the worst heat wave we've ever had, but for mid to late June, it's pretty hot. Temperatures reached over 90 degrees yesterday. We're going to be 90 or higher through Monday before it even cools a little bit, with a couple of days towards the end of this week, days in which, yes, I'm scheduled to play golf. Friday afternoon, Cooley's coming into town. So we'll see if he's available to jump on the show. He's coming into town for some card show at Dulles Expo Saturday at 2. Some of you fans may know about that already. But he is staying with me, and I'm fine with that. He allowed me to stay with him. He had me stay with him last summer when I went out to Wyoming. But we are planning on playing golf at least twice. We're going to play on Friday and Saturday. And I told him yesterday, Friday, high temperature projected to be 95, Saturday, 97. And he just said, it's 64 here right now with no humidity. Well, yeah, that's what it is when you live in Wyoming. There are pluses to living in Wyoming, and there are plenty of minuses to living in Wyoming. Good day, everybody. Dominance by the Boston Celtics. It's the only way to say it. I would start and almost want to end the conversation with what was really suffocating defense at times, great defense at other times, outstanding to really good defense much of the other time, with the exception of game four in Dallas, which once Boston, you know, fell behind, it was kind of one of those games where they're like, look, we're up 3-0. Let's go back to Boston and end it on our home floor Monday night if we can't end it tonight. They're just so good defensively. And Dallas is one of those teams which they're not unique in the NBA. They're not that unique for college basketball either. But teams that rely primarily on ISO basketball in the half court are just never going to win a title if they've got to face really good defensive teams along the way. They're just too easy to guard, and it's too much effort. It's not sustainable against a good defensive team like Boston in trying to win 4 out of 7. You can shot make, you can play make your way to a win or two over a really good defensive team playing stagnant ISO basketball, but you're not going to win 4 out of 7. And we saw that from the jump, the first two games in Boston, game three in Dallas, and then last night, man, their defense on Kyrie and Luka early, smothering. I mean, Kyrie's a story we'll get to. Luka's a story that we will get to. But these NBA finals are about the Boston Celtics being the best team. They were the best team in the regular season. They were the best team in the postseason. And quite frankly, it wasn't even close. The Celtics are champs for the first time since 2008. They are champions of the NBA for the 18th time, taking the overall lead, one better than the Lakers, who last won in 2020 in the bubble. Nobody else is close to those two. Denton, I'll ask you real quickly. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but a little bit of trivia. Do you know who has the third most titles in the NBA after the Celtics and Lakers? Nobody's close, but do you know who is third?
Nobody's close. My guess would be the Golden State Warriors.
Good guess. You are correct, sir. The Golden State Warriors, not all of them in San Francisco. They won in Philadelphia as well before they became the San Francisco Warriors and then eventually the Golden State Warriors. But yes, the Warriors as a franchise have 7 titles. My guess, when I saw this asked earlier this morning before the answer popped up, I'm like, it's got to be either Chicago or San Antonio. I didn't think about the Warriors and their history prior to Golden State. You know, they had not won a title since 1975 when they won in 2015 with the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green team. And the 75 win was over the Bullets. The Bulls have 6 championships. The Spurs have 5. The Spurs have made 11 appearances, which is, you know, is up there. Yeah, that's the list. But Boston is being talked about. These 2023-2024 Celtics are being talked about as a team that rivals some of the greatest teams in NBA history. I don't know that I'll remember them that way, mostly because they just didn't have a difficult road to winning the title. You know, they played 3 teams in the East who weren't that great and who were injured, you know, missing their best player for games, if not the entire series. No Jimmy Butler when they played Miami. Donovan Mitchell missed games in the series against Cleveland. And then Halliburton missed games in the Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. So they skated through a weak and lame Eastern Conference. And then they got a 5 seed in the NBA Finals that they destroyed 4-1. So I can't think personally about them being one of the greatest teams of all time. Even if the road had been more difficult, in watching them, very, very much a pleasure to watch, in part because of the way they defend. But they're not, for me, one of the greatest teams of all time. But they certainly had a season to remember. Their 792 win percentage for the regular season and playoffs combined is the second best in franchise history, behind a team that many do feel is the greatest team in NBA history, and that's the 85-86 Celtics. That team went 82-18 in the regular season and in the playoffs. This year's version of the Celtics went 80-21, 16-3 in the postseason. The 86 Celtics went 15-3. The first round in 86 was a best of five, which is why they didn't have to win 16 games to win the title. They had to win 15. But this year's team, pretty close record-wise to the 86 Celtics. This team in the regular season won 17 games by 25 points or more. That's never been done. And so people will look at their 64-18 regular season and their margin of victory of 11.3 points per game in the 17 games that they won by 25 or more, and this will put them in the category of great teams. Their average margin of victory in the postseason was 8 points. Now, that was impacted by that blowout loss in Game 4 in Dallas. They lost by 38. But it counts, right? The 86 Celtics, which some believe is either the best or certainly a top three team of all team, blitzed through their postseason with a margin of victory of 10.3 points per game. But I can't personally, and this isn't an old man get off my lawn bit, these Celtics were a pleasure to watch. They were a great team, but they're not the 86 Celtics. And I'm not talking about would they beat the 86 Celtics. I'm not having the evolution conversation right now. I believe that the players of today would annihilate some of the teams from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They're just bigger, faster, stronger. Honestly, in many ways, even more skilled. In terms of, you know, the teams for their time, the 86 Celtics, the 96 Bulls, the 83 Sixers of Moses Malone, where he predicted faux, and they won in 4-5-4. The 87 Lakers, who had lost to the Houston Rockets in 86, who then lost to the 86 Celtics in the finals. That 87 version of the Showtime Lakers, they beat the Celtics in 6 games. That was an unbelievable team. The 2001 Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, they went 15-1 in the postseason. The 2017 Warriors went 16-1 in the postseason. There are a lot of teams that I could rip off that I would say, you know, off the top of my head, that are just better than the team that I just watched. But this team had a hell of a season. Hell of a season. And defensively, a pleasure to watch throughout, especially in these finals, where Luka and Kyrie came in with a lot of people picking them to win these NBA Finals. A lot of people talking about Luka Doncic as the best player in the game or one of the top three players in the game before he had won a title. I said it's too premature. Kyrie having really turned the narrative on him around because of the way they had played in this postseason and the way he had behaved really for the last year and a half in Dallas. And you saw him at the end of the game if you were up late, going through, you know, the Boston bench, congratulating them, not after the game, but as he was checking out for the final time. He was horrendous last night. He was terrible in all 3 games in Boston. And, you know, Luka and Kyrie are storylines from these NBA Finals. I mean, we're such creatures of recency. You know, after they beat Minnesota, it's like, wow, it was Stan Van Gundy. Am I right? I think it was Stan Van Gundy who said, Denton, this is the greatest offensive backcourt in NBA history. I love Stan Van Gundy. I think he's really good. They certainly weren't against the best defensive team that they faced. Some thought Minnesota was the best defensive team. No, these NBA Finals proved that Boston was the best. When I say best, they were the best on-ball guarding team with more than just 2 or 3 excellent defenders in this postseason. But people were just gaga, going nuts over Luka and Kyrie coming into these finals. More on them in a moment. How about Jason Tatum last night? The game of the series for him. He was absolutely lights out, start to finish, dialed in. He was such an excellent distributor. Again, he had 31 points, 11 assists. Jaylen Brown had 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and 21 points. Neither one of them shot it great. They were a combined 3 for 16 from behind the arc. It was, you know, it was White and Horford and Hauser, really, who knocked down the threes for Boston. But the two of them, Tatum and Brown, you know, we've had now back-to-back teams win titles. Actually, if you want to go back to the Warriors without KD when they beat the Celtics 2 years ago in 2022, we've had three straight teams that have essentially been homegrown. You know, the key players drafted by the organization, you know, built up over some time. Now, Golden State obviously won, and then they won again with Durant. But Denver with Jokic and with Murray, drafted with Porter Jr. last year. You know, you got to be patient in the NBA. Young teams don't win. You have to almost graduate to a championship. Tatum's 7th year in the league. Brown's 8th year in the league. Even though they're only 26 and 27 years old respectively, they've been in there. They've been through the wars. They lost an NBA Finals. They blew a Game 7 at home last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, albeit with Jason Tatum getting hurt in that game early on. Tatum was great last night. I do think that Jaylen Brown deserved the MVP. I think he was their best and most valuable player and the best player in this series for the 5 games that were played. I don't think he was the best player last night. I think Jason Tatum was, and I bet it closed the gap. I did not see the MVP voting. Did you, Denton?
I did not see the voting. I was a little surprised, though, after the Game 5 performance that Jaylen Brown won it.
I wasn't. I think that it's for the series. It's not for a game. And he was the, you know, he hit the big shot in Game 3 after Dallas, you know, cut it to 2 late. He was their best defender for all 5 games. He was as good a playmaker and a shot maker as anybody else. I mean, he was a massive favorite going into last night's game. He just wanted Tatum to win.
No, I made more money off of Jaylen Brown winning it. I had him 6-1 winning it from the start of the series. I just thought that as the series progressed, Jason Tatum started to look more like Jason Tatum, and I thought towards the end people would be swayed to vote him. I mean, he had 11 assists last night. He was really good at distributing a near, again, triple-double. I thought people would eventually gravitate towards him.
I thought he was great last night. I do think sometimes more so with Tatum than even Brown, the ball sticks a little bit because Boston is, you know, a top 6-7 team when it comes to ISO ball. But the ball moves side to side much more so with Boston. They're much more able with their players to blow by Dallas defensively to create opportunities for others. I think that I've said for years, and it's been true, that you can't win an NBA title without a debatable top 5 player in the game on your roster. And that's been true since 2004. And Boston won with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown last night. I know Jason Tatum's won 3 straight, has been a 3 straight first-team All-NBA player, and that should end the discussion about whether or not Boston won a title with a debatable top 5 player. He again has been named 3 straight years to the first team All-NBA. This isn't All-Star voting. This is, you know, like All-Pro. This is All-NBA, first team. And so those that would say, well, they do. They have Jason Tatum. He is one of the top 5 players in the game. He's been named to the top, to the starting unit for 3 straight years. Personally, I don't think Jason Tatum's a top 5 player. I think he's a top 10 player. I think he's probably a top 7, top 8 player. But you could debate that he's top 5. I'm not going to take that away from you. I would say that he isn't. And so for the first time since 2004, I would say I don't think Boston had a top 5 player, dominant player on their roster. But I do think they have 2 easy top 7 to top 15 players. You know, somewhere in that range, both Brown and Tatum are in that range, maybe 7 to 8 to 12, somewhere in that range. And it was certainly more than enough with the team that Brad Stevens put around them. You know, there was some criticism when he traded Marcus Smart, brought in Drew Holiday, brought in Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis played last night, was not much of a factor, but was a major factor in the series because he was such a big factor in Game 1. Keep in mind, Boston's run here during the postseason came largely without their third, but you could argue their third most talented player. Drew Holiday was their third best player, or Derek White, one of the two. God, they had players that stepped up, didn't they? Really, really good basketball team. Not all-time great, though. A great season, statistically, numbers-wise. You know, people will talk about the 2023-2024 Boston Celtics, you know, with some of the numbers they put up, some of the margin of victory stuff. But I can't put them up there with some of the all-time great teams. But I think Mazzulla did a great job. I think Brad Stevens is an incredible architect of this thing. And they had two guys who had ascended to that time in their career where it was time to win a title. And they got it done. And there's nothing better, I don't think, than watching the culmination of something, of a championship. But a championship that has come with, you know, tremendous resilience over the years, with players who were doubted over and over again, who were criticized for losing last year in Game 7, criticized for not beating the Warriors 2 years ago. They were the favorite in that series. Criticized at various times, and they stuck with it, and the two players have gotten better. And look, Jason Tatum is still getting better. He's 26 years old. You know, I may feel differently about him this time next year or the year after and say he's definitively a top five player. Jaylen Brown, the same thing. What a big step-up season for him. He is a killer competitor. He is a relentless, in-your-face, on-ball defender. I enjoyed watching the Celtics. I wish they had had another great team. I really wish it had been Boston and Denver. That would have been the finals worth watching. Denver would have been a team, I think, more suited to play Boston because they're not as stagnant. And I think Boston, especially without Porzingis, would have really had a difficult time with Jokic. And it would have been a much better series. But Denver didn't get there. They lost a Game 7 at home in the conference semifinals to Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota would have beaten Boston. I think the team out west that would have had the best chance, Denton, is Denver. I think that would have been the team that would have actually had a legitimate chance. And I think that was, you know, the presumed NBA Finals matchup before it started, even though we knew the West was going to be wild. You know, going back to the beginning of the playoffs, remember when we were looking at this thing, we're like, wow, I mean, the Suns are a six seed, the Clippers and the Mavericks, what a series that's going to be. I mean, two teams that nobody thought about before the season, Oklahoma City and Minnesota, are in the top three seeds. You got the defending champions. You got New Orleans with Zion, but he never got healthy. Wasn't the greatest. I pushed it probably too much. It was not the best drug I've ever pushed. I've never pushed a drug. These NBA playoffs, I know I asked you guys to invest some of your sports watching time in this thing, and there wasn't much super memorable. There wasn't an all-time game or an all-time series or an all-time moment. You know, there was some early action with the Lakers in Denver, with the Knicks and the Sixers. That may have been the most intense series start to finish. The Knicks and the Pacers with the games in the Garden in particular were exciting. But ultimately, overall, thumbs down on the NBA playoffs overall. And I watched 90% of what was on. And I'm into it. And the only thing coming out of this, to me, is how good the Celtics were, especially on defense, and then a little bit of overzealousness, to say the least, on the Luka Kyrie greatest backcourt, greatest offensive player conversation. And that's where I'll end this. And if you want to weigh in on these NBA Finals, have at it, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Where do the Celtics, this version, rank for you? Is it one of the great teams that you've ever watched?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.